Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, we are sliding into the Woke Wednesday 4 o'clock happy hour. And we welcome back a fine guest, a friend of ours. He's a Democratic strategist with Zepecki Communications. I think I got that right. He's Vegas Joe Zepecki, the wokest guy I know. Joe, welcome back, man.
Hey, Joe.
Good to be back. How are you, boys?
You're awesome, sporting man. The Joe Biden aviator sunglasses. What's that mean?
I'm ready for hot vac summer. Bring it on.
The roaring 20s are here, baby.
Waxed That's and vaxed. Right. Joe, something of a tell from the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, Tony Evers. Apparently, he's running for re-election. He rolled out his campaign team today. I didn't misread those tea leaves, did I, Joe?
I don't think so. I mean, I also don't think this comes as a big surprise to any of us who have been watching closely. You know, the governor has always said that his timeline would be, you know, once the state budget was done, it'd be time to run again. And any governor of any political party, any state in the country has to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. Clearly, he's putting the key pieces in place and getting ready to kind of wave the flag and get off to the races.
Now, Joe, last time through, Maggie Gao, his current chief of staff, was Evers' campaign manager. And apparently my pal Maggie has got to stay in her governmental role, or at least that's the choice they've made. Do you feel that's unusual at all?
No. Typically, you do not see chiefs of staff leave and run campaigns. Cassie Fanili, who was the deputy campaign manager last time, is going to be running the show this time. Obviously, when you are the chief executive of a state while also running for governor, you have a lot of responsibilities. You still have to be a governor. You still have to run the state. You still have to execute the duties of the office while you also make the case to voters that you want another 4 years. And so there will be lots of communication between the east wing of the Capitol and the campaign. You have to have that in terms of scheduling and operations, but there also needs to be, at least it used to be, a tried and true Wisconsin tradition that we had a very clear line of demarcation between the politicking and the governing. And I say good on this governor for establishing that clear line again and not maybe hearkening back to some of the bad old days of Scott Walker where those lines got blurred all of the time. That does not serve the public interest. Good for Tony Evers for doing it this way.
Joe Zepecki, our fine guest. Joe, typically the signing of the budget by the governor is sort of that frees him up to do other things. Hell, even Scott Walker didn't announce his presidential run officially until after he signed the budget. So here's my question. Is that what Evers has to wait for? Because this budget, very contentious. And in fact, Evers has threatened a full veto of the budget. And Republicans have, you know, basically insulted school kids, as Evers has said, by putting in 1/10 of his request for K-12 spending, and they might even cost the state of Wisconsin $1.5 billion in federal aid. Long way to go between here and a successful budget signing. Is that going to slow Tony's, you know, reelective campaign, sir?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it clarifies the choice. You know, check me on my math. But if Republicans in the legislature are going to cost the state $1.6 billion because they refuse to expand access to health care, if they're going to cost taxpayers $1.5 billion for education, pretty soon you're talking about more than $3 billion they're leaving on the table. I'm not sure I'd trust any of these Republicans to take a math test for one of those K-12 students if this is how bad they are at getting our fiscal house in order.
Well, certainly not a finance test. Joe Zepecki, Zepecki Communications, a Dem strategist joining us. Joe, great to see you again. Does it matter, you know, politically speaking, running a campaign, who the opponent is, like what Republicans might step up and run against Tony Evers? And as a campaign manager, do you take into account, you know, some of the rumors and who might be out there? Or do you just focus on your guy and your message?
Well, you've got to do both. You've got to do two things. You've got to make the positive case that you deserve another 4 years based on what you've been able to accomplish and what you want to accomplish in the future. And that's not going to change regardless of who emerges as the Republican nominee. Now, the flip side of that is you also have to lay out the stakes and what the cost would be if you change direction. You know, I'm not sure it makes a big difference whether it's former Lieutenant Governor Clayfish, whether it's Bill McCoshin, or whether it's, you know, Pee Wee Herman. The reality is that the governor's reelection campaign is a clear choice between what I would call the do-nothing Republicans in this state who just say no to everything. No to health care. No to funding to replace lead pipes in Milwaukee. No to investing in our institutes of higher learning. No to recreational marijuana, to medical marijuana. No, no, no. That's all they have to say. And so if I were Tony Evers, I'd be running against Republicans who just want to remain stuck where we are, and his vision, which will allow Wisconsin to be all that it can become. We can finally catch up to some of our neighboring states. We can have a more vibrant economy. We can create more opportunity for people to work their way into the middle class and live that middle class American dream. And you can't get there by just saying no all the time, contrary to what Republicans might think.
Oh, they're saying yes to some things, Joe. For example, they're going to hire 3 cops and an attorney to, you know, help investigate suspicious voter fraud and election, you know, shenanigans. Now, we don't know if there's any fire, but there might be smoke. And Speaker Robin Voss is going to go down this road with a biased investigator. Joe, how do you think this one plays out?
I mean, I think it's more of the same. You know, the other problem that Wisconsin Republicans have is they have chosen to not turn the page from Donald Trump, right? Donald Trump was an omnipresent being hovering over all of our politics for the last 5-6 years. And there was an opportunity after he left office, you know, in disgrace, frankly, after the insurrection on January 6th, after being impeached for the second time, there was an opportunity for Republicans across this country and across this state to say, that's in the past. We're done with that guy. We're moving on to what I would call a more traditionally conservative worldview. They're choosing not to do that. They're going to chase, you know, the conspiracies down these rabbit holes over and over again. And if that's what they want to do, that's fine. But I think that voters in this state and across the country see it for what it is, which is nonsense and a distraction from the business of running a state. There's a reason that Democrats have won 10 of the 11 statewide elections in this state since November of 2016. And Donald Trump is a big part of it. If they want to continue to bear hug him, hey, that'll just make life easier for the Tony Everses of the world and whoever our Democratic nominee is for the U.S. Senate.
Joe, are you going to have a few more minutes? Can you stick around past this segment? Because otherwise, sure, I've got to prioritize my questions. Joe, let's talk about the lieutenant governor, the current LT, Mandela Barnes. And there is some question whether or not he wants to jump into that senatorial race. He would certainly be amongst the front runners if he did. But that would leave Tony Evers in something of a tough spot. They were sort of a campaign team. And there was some laughter about the, you know, the age averaging of Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes. He in his early 30s. Tony later in his 60s. Well, that doesn't play as well if he's not on the ballot. So my question, do you think the LT's made up his mind, and is he getting in the senatorial race?
I don't know. I would be lying if I said I did. I don't think we know what Mandela Barnes is going to do. I don't think we know what Ron Johnson's going to do. Both of those gentlemen are going to wake up one day in the next 6 months and just know what they want to do. And we should give them both the time and space to figure that out. What I will say is that whether or not Tony Evers runs with Mandela Barnes as his lieutenant governor, or whether Evers is the Senate candidate, or sorry, Evers is the gubernatorial candidate, and Barnes is the Senate candidate, or if Barnes doesn't get out of a primary, I have no doubt in my mind that what Mandela is committed to doing is continuing to push for the issues he cares about. Right? A clean energy economy, you know, more opportunities for people to build their way into the middle class. This is a guy who cares deeply about the issues. He's going to be part of this fight, wherever his name might be on the ballot, or whether or not his name is on the ballot. So I wouldn't read too much into whether or not, you know, they're running 1-2 this time, or whether even we know that in the next couple of weeks. we've got a long way to go between now and next November.
Joe, if Mandela declares for the U.S. Senate race, does Tony get to pick his co-pilot, or is there going to be a Democratic primary for who would replace Mandela Barnes as the LT candidate?
There would be an election. You have to run independently for the nomination to be lieutenant governor. It is unclear to me if in that scenario, Governor Evers would sort of put his thumb on the scale and say, this is who I want to run with, or if he would throw it open to Democratic voters and say, you know, hey, here's a couple of candidates. You tell us who you want to be sort of the heir apparent down the road, because I do think it's safe to assume that someone like Governor Evers isn't interested in serving three or four terms like Tommy Thompson did.
Marcellia Nicholson, I believe, and others, I believe Senator Johnson, not the Rojo, but the senator from Milwaukee, LaTanya Johnson, I believe they've both been mentioned as perhaps candidates for lieutenant governor should Mandela take that big jump. Do you think either of them or both of them would be qualified, especially to bring diversity to the ticket?
Well, there's no question that they're qualified in their own right, full stop. These are both incredibly talented women who have served ably in public office and have every right to put their name forward and would do well in that job. The added benefit may be the diversity of perspective and experience that they would bring. I think we all agree that it's way past time Wisconsin had more women serving in high elected office. And so I think that's a pretty, you know, it's not a controversial take to go, boy, it would be great if there is a vacancy for the governor to look at adding a woman to the ticket.
Joe Sopecki, stick around, more Devils.
Holy mackerel, folks.
Hi, this is Brad from Zero Res. If you need someone to help with your carpet cleaning, business or residence, please give us a call. We have the best system available and an amazing team of friendly technicians. Call us at 848-9000 or schedule online at zeroresmadison.com.
For listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show, Joe Sopecki, Sopecki Communications, a Dem strategist from the great state of Wisconsin, sticking around for another segment. Joe, thank you so much for doing so.
Of course. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, you too, man. Foxconn, now a newly renegotiated deal. Still don't know what the hell is going on down there, but certainly less liability for the state of Wisconsin after the former guy's deal. In this case, talking about Walker, I guess, and Trump. How do you think this is going to play out, Joe, for the next election cycle? Does there have to be some sort of progress with Foxconn for Evers to claim a victory here?
Well, let's be really clear here. We should all hope that there's progress, right? We all hope that even though Governor Walker kind of gave away the store, we want high growth, high impact industries in this state. We want, you know, job creators to come here, live here. We want employees to find Wisconsin to be a place they want to live and work. So, boy, I hope so. And I know that the governor hopes so. And whether or not it happens is going to be borne out by market conditions and the state of the economy and who knows what else, right? So irrespective of that, while we all hope for the best, what we know is that Governor Evers has a positive story to tell here about taking charge and protecting taxpayers so that we are less at the whim of market forces beyond our control and taxpayers aren't stuck footing the bill for, you know, the next 10, 15, 20 years should nothing develop there. And that's part of what the clear contrast is going to be if the person who I think is frankly the front runner and most likely Republican candidate is Rebecca Clayfish. And she owns part of this deal because she was Walker's number two while they gave away the store to a foreign manufacturer with very little by way of guarantees or protections for taxpayers if the promises weren't met. Well, the promises weren't kept, and Tony Evers had to come in and you know, protect taxpayers. I'll take that conversation and that choice 7 days a week.
Joe Sopecki, all things considered, I've been happy with Evers' governance. He's done a good job under the circumstance and the opposition party being obstructionist at every step. But here's the question. Tony, more let's just say, less of a campaigner. So who makes the case for Tony? I mean, Tony's got to win re-election, and I get it. People voted for Tony the last time, but it was a relatively close race. And there was certainly some Walker fatigue, and there was a lot of bad governance. Walker had to run on his bad record, and Tony beat him. And now Tony's got to run on his record, which will be terribly mischaracterized by the Republicans, as we all suspect. And, of course, you know, there's right-wing talk media. So, Joe, who makes the case for Tony? Will Tony be able to effectively make the case for himself?
Well, he has to, and he shouldn't be alone, and he won't be alone, right? Because there are ordinary Wisconsinites who have benefited from his leadership, things like saving food share when Republicans screwed up that part of the state's finances and put us at risk for losing tens of millions of dollars in food share. People who have remained safe and healthy through the pandemic because this governor was willing to fight to protect them and their communities. You know, look at businesses who were able to get back on their feet because of the small business loans that helped small businesses and entrepreneurs make it through the pandemic. You know, these have been unprecedented times, and the steady leadership of Tony Evers has helped Wisconsin get through it. And so it shouldn't just be on the governor to tell the story of what his leadership has meant. It should be on everyone who has benefited from it. And it should be on the folks who see an even brighter Wisconsin in the future and understand that the things Tony Evers is advocating for and pushing for will help us get there faster, right? Republicans are fighting a rear guard action, you know, standing athwart not just history, but the way the world currently is. And they're not just yelling stop, they're yelling go back, right? You can't turn the clock back. We have got to find a way to get in the game and catch up to these other states around us who have done things like accepted the Medicaid expansion, who have adopted at least medicinal marijuana, if not recreational. There are steps we can take as a state that would make this a better place to live. Tony Evers is fighting for those every single day, and Republicans are trying to stop it. So I think it's on Tony. It's on everybody across the state to help make sure everybody understands that choice in next year's election.
Of course, the reason it's so bad here is because of the gerrymander that happened 10 years ago. And this is a census year, although the census is coming out late. Joe, here's my big question. Tony Evers, of course, will probably veto the Republican drawn map. If Tony Evers were to lose at the ballot box, and we know that Republicans are already suggesting that the new map shouldn't take effect till 2023 or perhaps 24, Joe, theoretically, could the newly elected governor, whoever it would be, presumably a Republican, could that party decide not to defend the position of Evers the veto and to basically codify the Republican maps?
I mean, listen, the Republicans have demonstrated time and time again, going back to the lame duck of 2018, through the contest and audits and recounts of recounts and conspiracy theories around the 2020 election, they will stop at nothing to maintain minority control of the levers of government in this country. So absolutely, that's on the table. And it's another reason that next year's election is so important and why reelecting Tony Evers is so important.
Well, we didn't even have a chance to talk about Rojo and his bad governance. We'll have to have you back, our buddy, Vegas Joe Sopecki, wearing the rose-colored glasses today. Appreciate you coming around, Joe. We'll talk real soon.
Sounds good, boys. Behave.
Thank you, Joe.
Folks, come back with us. More Devil's Advocates, the 4 o'clock Happier Happy Hour. It rolls on with your phone calls, 844-967-2789.
Talk it up, man.
We really don't know if I have the authority to do that.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.